Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Congress today is on the cusp of passing its first infrastructure bill of the year. The Senate is expected to vote on a more than $12 billion water resources bill that authorizes 34 water projects for managing flood risks in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and restoring environment in Louisiana to dredging Boston Harbor. Congress last authorized a water projects bill in 2007. The House passed the bill earlier. If the Senate follows suit, the measure is headed to the president's desk for signature. Brazil's experiment with second crop soybean planting does not appear to have gone well, with low yields and persistent Asian soybean rust. Early yields are disappointing at 9 to 27 bushels to the acre. Mato Grosso, Brazil's number one soy state, planted 296,000 acres of second crop soy this season, up 600% from the year before. Paraná, the number two soy state, planted 267,000 acres, up 34% from last year. Across Brazil as a whole, around 600,000 acres of second crop soybeans were planted. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending May 15th. Here are the numbers in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 5.2. Next year, 7.7. Corn this year, 20.0. Next year, 2.5. Soybeans this year, 6.0. And next year, 16.6. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans were delivered to China during the 2014-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 16,550. It's up 17 points. The NASDAQ, 41.46, up 15. And the S&P 500, 1891, up 3.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest weather is expected to be favorable as we go forward through the next 2 weeks. I see no real good reason for us to be concerned about a problem evolving, although the temperatures yesterday across the Midwest were certainly trending a little bit on the warm side, with 80s and even a couple of lower 90s being reported across the region. It also looks as though the temperatures were accompanied by somewhat restricted amounts of rainfall yesterday. Now, with that said, there were some strong thunderstorms that occurred in portions of east central Illinois, southern half of Indiana, and in portions of west central and southwestern Ohio. There was even some rain in central parts of the state of Ohio. Well, a lot of the rain was locally intense, with some amounts running up into the half to 1.5 inch range, with some local totals getting even higher, up close to 2 inches. The majority of this precipitation will be somewhat disruptive to field work early today, but it won't last long because we are expecting dry weather to continue or resume across many of these eastern Midwest locations. Over the next few days, most of the Midwest will see a favorable mix of rain and sunshine. I think everybody will be impacted at one time or another, and it doesn't look at this point in time that there's going to be much in the way of real significant precipitation occurring, and some net drying will occur in quite a few areas. But this is good for getting additional field work accomplished across the region. A close monitoring of the situation will be warranted, especially once we get into June, if the net tendency for lighter than usual precipitation and somewhat warm weather continues. We'll probably have some dryness pockets beginning to evolve across parts of the region, and that will warrant a better or closer watch as we move through that period of time. But for right now, the forecast is just about ideal as far as supporting field work and crop development. The exception may be in the upper parts of the Midwest, where we're still dealing with some wet fields in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the eastern parts of North Dakota, and these areas will see about 2 to 3 days worth of additional dry weather before there will be an opportunity for more rain. Rain will develop this weekend, and it looks like it's probably going to continue as we move on into much of next week with two, maybe three waves of precipitation impacting some of those areas. And fieldwork will obviously not advance very well during that period of time. That puts a lot of pressure on some of these producers across the upper Midwest over these next 2 to 3 days to get as much done as possible. And some fields are just simply too wet if we're getting much fieldwork done. The temperature bias across the Midwest is still expected to be favorably warm, with additional 80 degree temperatures likely on a frequent basis throughout much of the next week to 10 days. There will be some potential for temperatures to be a little bit cooler in the far northwest, but not by much. Just upper 70s and lower 80s will be possible in that region, followed by low temperatures at night in the northwest, running mostly in the 50s, and there will be some 60 and even some lower 70 degree temperatures occurring across the lower parts of the Midwest, where there will be less cooling taking place at night. Other areas in the U.S. of interest continue to be focused mostly on the central and southern plains, with hard red winter wheat country still expecting to see widespread precipitation over the next several days. The moisture will be followed in early June by some additional precipitation, making the bottom line quite favorable for crops across much of the central and southern plains, at least for improvement. Now, some of the precipitation will come too late for saving some of the southern wheat producing areas in Texas and Oklahoma, but for Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado, the environment will be just fine. We'll likely see higher yields and better quality occurring for winter crops, and a better environment for planting the late season summer crop, including sorghum, soybeans, and corn across some of those very same areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat, 762 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. Soft July, 664, down 1/4. July corn, 479, up 4 1/2. September, 476 1/2, up 4. And December, 476 1/2, up 4 3/4, now 4 1/2. July soybeans, 1522 1/4, up 17. November, 1267 1/4, up 13 3/4. July soybean meal, 503.20, up $5.10. July soybean oil, 4091, up 44. June live cattle, 138.37 1/2, up 10. May feeders, 189, down 20. And June lean hogs, 119.07 1/2, and they are down 85. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning from dry part of central Illinois.
Yeah, and if you want to talk dry or conditions not to you know, conducive to corn planting, I think we need to go to North Dakota, with especially with a May 25th date looming this weekend ahead of us.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to talk to a grower in that eastern part of North Dakota that where things are cropped, and he said he probably won't get any corn planted. But when you look at the total expectations for total number of acres of corn in North Dakota, it's pretty minimal. He's not going to go to beans. He'll go to canola. He'll go to sunflowers. So he didn't think he would go to beans because their basis is so bad on beans. But we're really only talking about 3 million acres in North Dakota planted to wheat, excuse me, planted to corn. So if 20% of that is planted, we still have 51 million acres of corn that's already planted.
Right.
Not a big state when overall, but when you lump in the four northern states of that potential corn plantings, we could be looking at unplanted acres in excess of what we saw last year.
So that would be Minnesota, that would be Wisconsin,
Michigan.
Okay.
Yep. I think the real story today continues to be meal. And whether that can, I mean, that market is just totally on fire.
It's the real deal.
Yeah, it is. And part of that comes from the dropping Argentine peso. So Argentine farmers aren't selling their beans. They're the biggest meal exporter. A European meal buyer told me the other day that he's just unable to get anything bought. So we're going to have to entice beans to come to market. And we did see some Brazilian farmers selling earlier this week, but not enough to satisfy this market. But meal's in control.
Let's look at some livestock.
Wow. I mean, we've had an on-fire feeder cattle market. The big talk is we're going to hit $200. Whether that comes to fruition or not, we're kind of pushing the envelope there, but certainly we're getting close in the August contract. The hog market, even though the fundamentals look reasonably good, these weights are really creeping up. We're now over 10 pounds, almost 11 pounds above a year ago. And we may have just capped this hog market for a little bit. I think we got to get into the end of the summer, see whether we can hold these kind of levels.
Thank you much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. July corn, 475 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. December, 472 and three quarters, now a half, up three quarters. July soybean, 1522 and a half, up 17 and a quarter. November, 1268, up 14 and a half. July soybean meal, 50290, up 480. July soybean oil, 4090, up 43. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.